Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. It'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes by email every Sunday. And check out our blog. Also, while you're there, the blog is really taking off. People are using it like crazy. The blog, the good thing about the blog, it brings everything that we've done this week and last week right up front, where it's very handy for you to get to everything. All the interviews that we've done, four a day, as you know, and an article every day, a different article every day. And so check that out when you get a chance. And you can find it at the homepage of smallbusinessadvocate.com, or you can go directly to the blog by going to jimsblog.biz. Brian Liu is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Brian is, he formerly was a corporate attorney on Wall Street, very successful there. And you know what I think happened, folks? I think he said, you know what? I hear the calling of all these wonderful, cuddly, lovable small business owners out there. They need my help. And he founded, he co-founded a company called LegalZoom, because he knew one of the things all these huggable, cuddly small business owners needed was legal help that they weren't getting. And so he's our guest this half hour, and we're going to talk about that and some other things. Brian, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim.
Am I right? You heard the calling, didn't you? You heard these all these people saying, Brian, help me, help me.
I'll tell you, that's exactly what I heard.
Yeah,
when I graduated from law school, one of the first things that happened was that all my friends and family, they came out of the woodworks, Jim. They came out and they said, help me with everything from estate planning to incorporating a business, filing a small claims action. And you know, we saw what was going on around us with the Internet in terms of online tax preparation, online travel, and we knew that people needed an attorney, but they didn't know where to turn for one. They didn't have the time, or they didn't want to spend the money to find an attorney. And you know, we thought that LegalZoom would be a great alternative.
Well, and you know, one of the problems that I found that's out there, and I really am proud of you for what you did. I was having a little fun with you earlier, but I'm serious about me saying that I'm proud of you for doing it, because if anybody knows this, I know the pain that small business owners have with especially with regard to needing information and not knowing where to go to get it. And one of the things that there's a dearth of out there in the marketplace, in my opinion, are attorneys who specialize in the needs of small business owners, the things that small business owners require. And you know, it's not, I'm not saying it's anyone's fault. It's just that we need a lot of things, and I actually have only met a handful of attorneys that I consider to be proficient at small business in the world of small business.
Yeah, I mean, there are some great attorneys out there, no doubt, but they are hard to find. And more importantly, as a small business owner, we started this business right at the very height, actually right after the initial 2000.com bust.
Yeah, so, that was smart, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it ended up being a great blessing in disguise.
Yeah, you got in afterwards instead of the beginning, right?
Right.
You might not be here otherwise.
That we were going to raise, you know, millions of dollars initially. We thought we had such a great business idea, but what happened was that we hardly raised anything. So we didn't take salaries for the first year. We lived on, you know, top ramen and
only a year. That's pretty good. I didn't take salaries for longer than that, Brian.
I was working as a corporate attorney before, and I had a mortgage to pay. We had to do something.
Yeah.
But it was tough, but it taught us how to be resilient and how to make ends meet, and basically how to do everything we can to make the business work.
You learned the things that your future customers were dealing with every day, didn't you?
That's exactly.
You gained
what
an appreciation for these wonderful people you're serving now.
Absolutely. I mean, we were on the phone. I mean, I was, you know, I was on the phone. I'll tell you some of the funny things we did at the very beginning. You know, we were on the phone, and of course, we all did customer service. I was CEO, and I was also, you know, the janitor, and I was also the customer service rep. So, you know, we would answer emails, and we got really close to our customers. And we'd answer mm-hmm. phone calls, of course, as well. So we knew what people were looking for, and I think that really helped us.
Right. Well, I'm excited. It's good to hear your story. I think people like hearing these kinds of stories. LegalZoom is a great success now, and it's providing a lot of good services for folks. But it's I think it's important for a lot of folks out there listening to you. Brian, they're sitting at their kitchen table the way you were 8 years ago. They're uh-huh. sitting at their kitchen table, and they're scratching their idea out on the back of a number 10, you know, paper sack or something like that. And it's good for them to hear that as successful as you are now, it once wasn't so.
Oh, absolutely.
There were tough times and times when you looked in the mirror and you said, what the heck am I doing?
When I think about it now and I think of all the hardship that we went through, and if I would have known at that time how difficult it would have been, I'm not sure if we would
have. How many times have we all said that? And you know, somebody once asked me, how did you do all this? And I said, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
if I known I wasn't supposed to, I wouldn't have. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be able to pull this off. Brian, I want you to come back and talk some more about the formation of LegalZoom, and I know you got a great story to tell us. But I promised the audience that we talk about barter. One of the things that I get an awful lot is mm-hmm. is people calling, emailing me or whatever and saying, hey, Jim, I want to start a business, but I don't have any money. I don't have enough money. Where do I get a grant and all that kind of stuff? And I think a lot of people don't understand that how a small business is capitalized, especially even when you don't have any money. You've got to do it one little nickel at a time, and part of those nickels can be bartered, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you, it's tough to barter sometimes for phone bills or for rent, but you'd be surprised how many things you can get by bartering. I mean, for mm-hmm. example, one of the things that we figured is that as a legal document service, when we were beginning, we knew that we had a lot of services that small business owners wanted. For example, incorporating their business or filing trademark registrations or provisional patents. So we have a lot of services that people need, but maybe they, even at our prices, you know, LegalZoom.com's prices are a lot lower than what an attorney would charge, but mm-hmm. people still don't have the cash. You know, cash is king when you're starting out and when you're a small business.
It's precious when you don't have any, too. Hold on to that thought, Brian. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Brian Liu is our guest. He's a co-founder of LegalZoom.com. When we come back, he's going to cast some more of his pearls of wisdom before us on how to barter, how to stretch a nickel into a dollar. He can do it, and you can, too. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Don't let the sun catch you crying.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Brian Liu, co-founder and the chairman of LegalZoom.com. And as Brian said earlier, LegalZoom is a website that offers legal services. Not advice, really, though, right?
No, not advice. It's legal document services. It's a little bit like it's self-help legal documents. Mm-hmm. We don't have, even though I'm an attorney and all of our co-founders are attorneys, we are actually not acting as a law firm. So it's mm-hmm. in between what you would find in a self-help manual or actually going to an attorney.
You're not telling people that LegalZoom is a replacement for their local lawyer who represents them in contracts and different things like that. This is just a supplement, folks. And it's a perfect example, Brian, to me of how you filled a niche that was needed. And I congratulate you on that. I want to get back into this barter thing, though. Give us some examples of how we can barter so that we can stretch that nickel into a dollar.
Well, I'll tell you, once One, a couple of things that we've done is we've bartered a trademark registration, for example, for a case of wine, and we've bartered incorporation.
I like where your priorities are there, Brian. I mean, you know, most people would have said for a gallon of milk for the children, but you went right for the wine.
Oh, we did.
Right,
we
for the Pinot Noir.
We had a small startup in winery in Napa call us up and said that they wanted to register a trademark for the winery, and they would barter a case of wine. And it was right before Christmas, and we thought, boy, this is perfect. Because
what a good idea.
Right, this will make gifts for our – this will be our business gift. And what we did was that the retail price of the services and of the wine was about $500, but we knew that our own cost for this registration was significantly less than that price. And like everything else, there's a markup. There's a margin. And I think the winery owner had the same feeling. He probably sold the wine at retail for about $500, but it cost maybe 50% of that. So what had happened was that, our perceived cost was $250, but the perceived value was $500.
Right.
And I think the same thing happened with the winery owner. And I think so what happens with barter is that it lowers the overall transaction cost and it facilitates the exchange.
When does the IRS get involved in barter?
The IRS gets involved. You're supposed to report the fair market value of your services for taxes and for revenues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you report, just like you earn cash, but you're also.
But barter is really kind of, in a way, and I don't mean this in a pejorative way. I don't mean to get dark on us here, but barter is, to the IRS at least, is kind of a black market to them, isn't it? Because the barter usually doesn't get reported.
That's probably true. Yeah.
But all right. So here's a question for you on barter. If what is the protocol? What are the ethics of barter? In other words, should I? Sometimes I've had people try to barter with me, and I knew going in they wanted to barter, but they also wanted to negotiate.
So bartering doesn't stop the negotiation. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how much should barter be my retail against your retail, or should it be what should it be, my wholesale against your retail? How should we do that?
I think it makes most sense when it's retail versus retail. And of course, it's like anything else. If you don't think that it's worth that particular amount, you can ask for more. But that's when it works the best. Mm-hmm. And you hit something else, Jim. I mean, the best way to do a barter exchange is to ask. Just call and ask. I mean, and it works especially well for small business owners.
It doesn't work well
for a phone company or sometimes
No. The telephone company, the utility bill, the utility company, they're not big on barter. But I think it's important to recognize that barter is big business. I mean, if look at what happens when an industry comes to a state. You think that state is not bartering to get them to come there by allowing them to do certain things in lieu of taxes? What is that if not barter?
Absolutely. There's
Am I right about that?
Forms.
And training. A state will train their employees. Will offer training for employees. If the company comes, I mean, all that, the barter can be big business. So it's something that's very generally accepted at very high levels. But it's something that I'd like to encourage more and more people to do. My experience, Brian, with barter is that it's worked best for me when I was bartering with people I already knew.
Right. That helps. I think it works best for other business owners, small business owners who are like-minded. And when you can talk to the owner directly and simply ask. I'll tell you where else I see a lot of barter transactions being posted is on Craigslist. I'll see that specifically people have services or they have a product offer, and they will specifically state that they will accept barters
like,
or trades.
Like to barter that, yeah. Hey, we need to get you back sometime and talk about cash equivalents one of these days. You probably know about cash equivalents. Hey, Brian, Lou, thank you for being here. Good job today. Co-founder of LegalZoom.com. Will you come back another day, Brian?
Absolutely, Jim.
We'll do it again. Thanks. Quick break. Right back with Gene Siciliano. We're going to talk about your business when an economy might be off a little bit. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.